Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, where every week our crew of intrepid dipshits blather on about all manner of gaming topics, as if they actually have something useful to say. Really, it is just the worst when it comes to podcasts, but here's an idea. Turn it into a drinking game. Every time they say something stupid, take a drink. But seriously, don't do that. Your liver will thank you.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Baelus.
And today, yeah, normally we don't try to do tabletop or board game news or discussions 2 weeks in a row, but yeah, you're going to get it 2 weeks in a row because we've got some advice for would-be game masters.
Yeah.
And basically, I was thinking about something that happened a few decades ago with our cousin, who we taught how to be a role player back when he started when he was like 4 or 5. We got him involved in our first edition D&D game. That we're talking 1984? 80,
that was a while ago.
Right in there when he started learning? No, I'm sorry. That was 83. Anyway, yeah, he's been playing most of his life. But in his teenage years, he wanted to run his own game, but and he had an idea for a system and things like that. He had a homebrew system he wanted to work with, but he needed inspiration. And as we mentioned, I think it was a few weeks ago, talking about, may have been last month, talking about how some game masters just don't quite have it to make their own settings.
Right.
And come up with their own games. They need inspiration. Well, he did. And he really loved the Final Fantasy games on NES.
Right.
So he made a Final Fantasy-themed homebrew role-playing game.
Mm-hmm.
And had a huge amount of fun with that. It was very successful. Of course, he never published or anything. But it was good fun. He ran it for his friends. He ran it for his parents. I think I played in one of the sessions once. It was all right. It was good fun, especially for something he made by himself, basically on the fly. Just did his own thing and poof, had a great time with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought we would talk a little bit exploring on that. Basically, if you're really into playing tabletop games, but you want to talk about, you're really into this video game. Ways you can bring those video game elements into your tabletop game. For example, you got something for me, Bielis?
Well, the one that I've always thought would be just a really lore-rich, I mean, everything you need for a tabletop game is already built in, and that's Diablo.
Oh.
I mean, you have interesting settings. You've got the big bad evil. You know, you've got this enemy that just transcends everything.
Mm-hmm.
It is a palpable bad guy, and you're working your way towards him.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you could go many other ways with it, of course, but just, you know, from the Diablo setting, everybody starts in Tristram, you know, 10 NPCs right there, and that's your starting point, and you just take off and go.
Or, in theory, if you want to be a little more adventurous with it, don't start in Tristram. What happened to the people that started over in this part of the world? How did it affect them? I mean, mm-hmm. Diablo 2, for example, had several different zones.
Oh, yeah.
In it, and they, you know, lots of different things to explore, lots of different peoples and races to work with. So that in itself, just Diablo 2 by itself, was enough to make a really great role-playing game.
Well, and I'm thinking of Diablo as in the entire series.
Sure, sure.
So you've got even more when you add in Diablo 3.
Yeah.
So it's just a good starting point. If you don't have the chops or the want to build your own world, because it is a very big endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is super, I mean, it's overwhelming. But if you don't want to go through that, then just tell your players straight up, hey, we're playing in the Diablo world, and this is, you know, these are your options, and go. Most people are going to just go, hell yeah, let's go.
And
that's my first idea.
Well, sure, but even to expand on that, mm-hmm. I just did a quick look for Diablo books.
Uh-huh.
They've got novels out the yin-yang.
Uh-huh.
But they also have Diablo 3, Book of Cain, and the Book of Tyrael. And there's also the Book of Adria, a Diablo bestiary. So just for, you know, having easy at-hand source material,
mm-hmm.
you've got books that talk about the creatures. You got books that talk about the world. You got all kinds of stuff right there that you could then couple with. Oh, if you're not going to be able to come up with a setting, you're not going to be able to come up with a system, most likely. Or maybe right. you are. But if you just want something easy, you grab your GURPS. You grab yeah. your basic D6, D20, Fate.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many multi-genre generic role-playing systems. Hell, Savage Worlds.
Yep.
You can grab one of them, grab these source books for inspiration and information, and go from there.
Well, and along the same lines, another big setting is, name of the game is slipping. It's the, remember World of Warcraft?
Well,
StarCraft. That's the name of it.
Oh, yeah.
StarCraft.
Now, I don't know what sort of outside resources StarCraft has, but I expect they probably have at least books or something about it.
There are.
It would help if I spelled that right.
That's a nice oomph. You know, you've got the humans versus the aliens versus, I can't remember what the third thing was, but there were you had the three different factions to work with.
Yeah, there's novels, there's online resources, manga, comics.
Oh, yeah.
StarCraft's got a lot of stuff outside of the game to work with, which is cool.
Well, and then, of course, you've always got your World of Warcraft and just plain Warcraft.
Yeah, but that even gets even easier, though.
Because they have their own role-playing game.
World of Warcraft has its own role-playing game, just like EverQuest does. So,
yeah.
Some games, you don't even have to worry about it.
Right.
I mean, obviously, if you like Neverwinter, well, you play D&D.
Exactly.
If you like Champions Online,
you play Champions.
I know there's only like 12 people who play Champions Online, but still, if you want to play that tabletop, well, Champions is a thing that exists.
Although what about you? What about you? Do you have some that you'd like to talk about?
Well, one thing that I know people have, I talked about years ago when we first got into Magic Gathering was, you know, that's a really cool idea, bouncing between various planes.
Right.
You know, and back with the original game, it felt like that was between life, death, and the elemental ones. Mm-hmm. And yet you're white, black, red, blue, green, different colors, basically. And you bounce between them, whatnot. But moreover, they meant more like actual dimensional planes. And there was many of them added mm-hmm. as they, you know, added expansion after expansion. And some of them, little light on the story, but others, especially with when they started writing books, lots of lore started coming in, especially when they added the legendary heroes and things like that to the game, legendary monsters and heroes. And the then they added mm-hmm. actual planeswalker cards. So you had actual, essentially, effectively, high-level NPCs that were supposed to be on par with the actual character. You know, the people playing the game, playing the card game.
Right.
Well, I always thought it'd be great to be able to play that as a setting. Of course, I didn't want to go to the work. There was easier things to do, just play a different game. But Wizards of the Coast, to the rescue! Their most favorite, or their most popular anyway, thus far, setting, the one they keep coming back to, has been Ravnica. And last November, they started putting out Ravnica setting books for D&D 5.0. Or 5th edition, I guess.
Now, the Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica.
Exactly. So people can now start playing in just one of the planes, obviously. But it's a start. And if that does well, I wouldn't be surprised to see, well, it's Wizards of the Coast. They're going to milk that cow as far as it'll go. So other planes start coming up. They'll start.
The one with Urza. I can't remember what the other Planeswalker's name was.
Oh, man, that's been too long. I haven't played Magic.
But then there's the air, the land of where the Dark was set.
Sure. And Ice Age and all those.
Arabian Nights and, yeah.
Yeah, but there's, you know, there's lots of things they can go back to. That well is deep. And I'm sorry, Magic players tend to be tabletop role players. And vice versa. Yeah. You know, every Magic player I know has at least dabbled in tabletop role-playing. And almost every tabletop role-player I know has played Magic.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's, if that's something you're interested in, obviously, Wizards of the Coast is ready to start selling you books.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what they do. They sell books. But you don't even need to do that. You've got the cards. You and your friends like to play Magic and you want to play some D&D. Well, you can. You've got the cards right there. Start coloring your D&D setting yourself without the Ravnica book. Don't throw the 50 or bucks or whatever it is at Wizards of the Coast. Do it yourself. You got cards. You got that. They put that flavor text on many of the cards for a reason. Use it. Have fun with it. And that's the cool thing about this, is that it's just fun. It doesn't have to be super accurate. I mean, I like Lord of the Rings Online, and I have a lot of resources to bring Middle-earth-themed gaming to my table if I wanted to.
Right.
Hell, there's a Middle-earth role-playing game. Has been for years. I wouldn't run it, but it's there. I've made a character for it many, many years ago, the original one. But you've got the writings from Tolkien. Not just the trilogy, but The Hobbit. You got the Silmarillion. You've got all these books you can work from. All that source material. You've got the movies, even though they're different, but whatever. If that's what you want to get into, fine. You've got Lotro. You've got other Lord of the Rings and Tolkien-themed video games out there. Hell,
Shadow of Mordor.
You're really into Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War? You're into that? Oh, good for you. You want to bring some of that? Because there's some unique stuff in there. You want to bring that to your tabletop game? Okay. Well, do it. There's plenty of settings you can use. I mean, systems you can use. I would suggest D&D because it just works. But you want to go multi-genre? Go multi-genre. There's lots of stuff you can do to just make it work. But my suggestion here, though, would be to try and reduce the amount of difficulty as much as possible. If you really want to bring a game you're really into, let's say Dragon Warrior. You know, that was a fun game for the NES. You really liked some elements of that? Great. Bring them to your game. But don't overthink it. Don't try and make it's Dragon Warrior. It's all Dragon Warrior. It's only Dragon Warrior. Because, first of all, pick up a controller and play Dragon Warrior. Or, you know, just take a game that's already built. Unless you already have a game built, that's fine. But Dragon Warrior is your basic fantasy game. So use a basic fantasy setting.
Right.
And add in stuff like slimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are slimes in D&D, so just modify that to be the little slimes that are easy to kill, that are tend to be everywhere.
Yeah, you get hit by a slime for 1 point of damage.
Yeah.
And then 5 minutes later, you die and turn into a giant green slime.
Yeah.
Because you didn't get it treated quick enough.
Doesn't really fit so well with, you know, if you want to use the D&D slimes, probably not going to get the dragon warrior feel you're looking for. You know?
Not when they're exceedingly fatal.
But here's one. Pokemon. That's super popular, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to do a quick search for Pokemon tabletop RPG. Well,
while you're looking at that, I was thinking of another one you could toss in just for a throwaway adventure. Toe Jam and Earl.
Oh, wow.
For a comedy game, Toe Jam and Earl. That'd be a fun one-off.
Yeah. This is... Wow. Okay, so I did a search and came up with Pokemon Tabletop Adventures.
Okay.
It's a Wikipedia-type thing using Wikidot. It is a little detailed. They basically use the D20 system to make a Pokemon role-playing game.
Okay.
They have Getting Started, how to make trainers, your list of Pokemon, which, by the way, according to their thing, they have all the Pokemon in the game statted out for D20, basically 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, let's see, the show starters. What are the stats on Bulbasaur? Holy crap! All right, so they went into all the evolutions. And, right. Apparently they also detailed out the abilities and whatnot. So yeah, that's not a problem. Somebody already did all the work for you. Just look for Pokemon Tabletop on Google and enjoy.
Yeah, I was just thinking of another video game that easily lends itself to being adapted to a tabletop game.
Oh, what's that?
Monster Hunter World.
Ooh, certainly.
I mean, it may not be this huge well of lore, characters and creatures and whatever, but it doesn't have to be. All you need is a starting point.
Well, yeah.
Bad starting point.
Well, no, because what's the main thing about Monster Hunter World is the monsters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I were going to do that, let me see what time we got. No, we got time. If I were going to do that, I would basically use a generic system that, like, let's say D6 Fantasy, for example. Sure. Most people would grab D&D, but let's just do something a little different. Grab my D6 fantasy book, and I would look at, I don't you play Monster Hunter World, but let's say Monster X. We grab this particular monster, and I would go, okay, what does this most closely come to in the bestiary? What does it seem most similar to? Mm-hmm. Abilities-wise, size-wise, that sort of thing. And then scale it into the game based on that creature that's in the game already, and just adjust it so that now you've got this in the game. And I guess there's way too many to actually sit there and do that, but that's a way to bring the flavor in, especially if you bring in like bigger, more well-known monsters from Monster Hunter World into your setting.
Right.
That right there, between that and just, I hate to say it, but limiting your players to certain types of characters to kind of keep them focused into the Monster Hunter style.
Well, yeah, you'd have to work with, you know, the archetypes they have for the game.
Sure. But, you know, just if like there's...
With Diablo, you'd have to work with the archetypes that are available.
Well, let's say that somebody for some reason grabbed Earth Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
For a basis for this game. I'm not sure why they would, but let's say they did. And there's something that just absolutely, from Earthdawn, that just absolutely does not fit in Monster Hunter World. Well, you just go, okay, this is no longer, we're just ignoring this. This is not going to be in part of our game. Yes, it's in the Earthdawn book. It's just not going to, it's a class you're not allowed to play. It's an archetype you're not allowed to use. If it's the magic system, well, good riddance. Point is, maybe it requires limiting your tabletop game a little bit so that it fits better with the style you're trying to build. Right. The feeling you're trying to evoke. I'm all for that. But I'm a cinematic game master. I love being able to just make things feel a certain way, you know, roll a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But anyway, that's a great way also to get people involved in games. I know in the pre-show, we talked a lot about, I don't know if you're playing it. I'm not. Sea of Thieves.
No, I'm not playing that.
Yeah. I heard bad things about it, decided not to buy it. But apparently it's gotten better.
Oh, yeah. They've added a whole lot of new content to it.
Yeah. Well, since that's getting to be a more popular game, that would be a good example of, say, a game that, let's say, you're a dad, you want to get your kids involved in tabletop role-playing, but, you know, darn it, they're just really into playing that Sea of Thieves. That's all they really want to talk about. Okay. Well, pretty easy to do with that game, because all you got to do is grab yourself a pirate-themed role-playing game, or let's say something like just D&D 5e, but you're using a more pirate-themed setting.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Boom. Okay, maybe there aren't any dragons, but you've got, you know, your sea monsters and all this, and yeah, let's see. To drive through RPG real quick, do a quick search for pirate games. There's a lot of stuff to search through.
Of course there are.
It's just sitting and spinning. It's going to take a while. All right. Well, there's a game just flat out called Pirates. And boy, does it have supplements. It goes on and on.
These pirates?
No. No, it's just a pirate game. Core rules. They have a Pirates of the Caribbean campaign setting, Pirates of the Mediterranean, Open Seas, Barbary Coast, Hellish Havens, Blood and War, Lost Treasures, free mini adventures, a downloads pack. It just, you know, it just goes on and on and on. Airship Pirates. Yar! The light pirate RPG game. There's just, you know, if you're looking for any sort of pirate, galaxy pirates, you know, if the point is you can grab one of these games, this is, you make it easy, grab Pirates, and there you go. Seems like a perfect opportunity to teach your kids how to play a role-playing game while keeping it themed to something they enjoy. Let them bring their character from Sea of Thieves into the tabletop game. Makes it a lot more likely they're going to be involved and focused on playing tabletop games in the future.
Mm-hmm.
He's going, hey, did you enjoy that? Hey, why don't we try this fantasy game? You liked World of Warcraft once upon a time. Well, this is better. And you drop down your 5th edition D&D game. I wouldn't exactly break out something like, here.
we're going to start playing...
Yeah, paranoia or vampire or something like that. Yeah, it's a way to, you know,
yeah, break let's your ruin children. The kids for tabletop gaming.
Let them get to their
paranoia.
Let them get to their teens before they get there. Anyway, yeah. So, point is, it's a like you were saying in the pre-show. It's a great way for people that either don't have the time, or inclination, or imagination. Which I hate to say it, but it happens. For a game master to make their own games, they can steal stuff outright from video games.
Mm-hmm.
Ones they enjoy, ones that might, you know, help bring their players into it. I mean, maybe you've got players that they'd like to play your D&D game, but they're too busy. They've got a raid in WoW to do. Well, let them bring their WoW characters to your table.
Yeah.
Or, hey, you know, I really like WoW, and my players like WoW, and we'd like to play a tabletop game, because the servers are down, or we're sick of WoW, we want to get back to that old feeling, let's break out the WoW role-playing game. Or play D&D like WoW, you know? Remake your characters in D&D. It can be done, and it's a great way to just have that, I don't know, it's hard, those old experiences you had back when you were first playing a video game, or a video game that's super nostalgic to you that you really loved from your childhood, to bring that back, but not in a way where you're relying on somebody else to make a revamped version of it for your modern computer. Play it at your tabletop.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, they're not going to screw up your memories.
Right. Well, I was just thinking about something. We've talked about all kinds of, you know, good games that would, you know, lend themselves quite well towards adapting a tabletop game from.
Yes.
But there's been one that has been sorely left out.
What is that?
Elder Scrolls.
I assume you don't mean Elder Scrolls Online. You're talking...
No, I'm talking about the Elder Scrolls world.
Hmm. True. And there's a huge amount of lore for it.
Exactly. You've got a lot of different land masses. You've got pre-made player characters. You've got all kinds of awesome things that you could add to your tabletop game, you know?
Well, you're in luck.
They did make a RPG for that?
Somebody is working on the Elder Scrolls tabletop RPG project.
Well, I should have figured, but from what we were talking about, that's one thing that just screams this should be made into a tabletop game.
Yeah, they're using a homebrew D100 system with a rule set on the more complex side. They're looking to streamline, but they're not going to go D&D simple, apparently. Complete rulebook, player's handbook, and 5 supplements so far.
Well, and for the 5 supplements, they're going to be, you know, Daggerfall, Morrowind, etc.
Actually, they cover stuff like vampirism and a few zones.
Okay, well...
Yeah, this is they're on 1d4chan.org in their wiki.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually on their 3rd edition. Holy crap. Core rulebook, player's handbook, book of circles, book of undeath, scroll of people, which is a bunch of NPCs and whatnot, Tamrielic artifacts, scroll of oblivion, scroll of beasts, scroll of Thum, which rules for Thum and Thum and stat blocks for Draugr. Wonders of the Aeliads and Secrets of the Dwemer.
All right.
So far. Anyway. Well, yeah.
Again, I've just thinking, you know, that would have been a great source. Apparently everybody thought so too.
Yeah, well, it's a popular system, a popular game, mm-hmm. So I can see it happening. Now, how Bethesda feels about it, well, as long as they're not publishing, they're probably okay.
Probably.
And boy, are we over.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
Pre-edit. Anyway, well, that made a good final thought, didn't it?
I thought so.
Yes. And it's a great example of just what you can do if you want to put several years of your life onto it. Yeah.
Well, and not even that. You can just take the bare bones of Skyrim. You know, just choose a starting point. That's the city that you're taking off from, and spread out. You've got a whole world to explore, and every single one, every single town has its already built-in NPCs, and, you know, you've got your vendors, you've got this, you've got this, you've got all these little places to explore nearby, you've got everything you need for a full campaign right there.
Sure. And especially if you were just going to keep your D&D game basic, you know, you not messing with the classes, not messing with the races, you let people play all that stuff.
Right.
Just use it as this is your world. You've got your pre-built maps. You got your pre-built towns. You got your pre-built NPCs all right there.
Yep.
Boom. Instant setting.
Instant setting.
And if people want to know what this person looks like, screenshot. So, yeah, kind of spiffy. Anyway, should close this up. So, until next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Wow, you got this far. I'm impressed. Also, if you decided to play the drinking game, please get yourself to a hospital right away. No human should ever drink that much alcohol. If you actually enjoyed this travesty of a podcast, please drop by our website at scoreme.com, which could inspire a drinking game of its own.